What gave me the courage to drive back out there again and again is knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. Okay, I realize I'm getting sent out to my death, but because of what Jesus has done for me, he has settled for me what happens after death. So I could drive through the city streets with no fear because my eternity had been secured for me by the blood of Jesus on the cross a long time ago.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and serves as the president of the National Day of Prayer. He believes people change the world, and with his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Jeff Strucker was an elite Army soldier, once part of a two-man team that won the Best Ranger competition. Jeff Strucker was involved in the Battle of Mogadishu and immortalized in the book and movie Black Hawk Down. Jeff was a 24-year-old sergeant and squad leader assigned to Task Force Ranger as a part of the 75th Ranger Regiment. He led the three-vehicle convoy that returned through intense fire, wounded Ranger Private Todd Blackburn to base. He went on to serve as a chaplain for 10 years. Jeff Strucker was involved in the 1989 invasion of Panama Operation Just Cause and also served our nation in the Persian Gulf War, the Battle of Mogadishu, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation Enduring Freedom. Interestingly, Jeff also holds a PhD in philosophy from Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. He has a Master's of Divinity degree from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville and Associate Bachelor's degrees from Troy University in Troy, Alabama. Jeff and Dawn Strucker have been married for more than 20 years. Listen, they have five children, Aaron, Jacob, and he has a wife named Haley, Joseph, Abigail, and Lydia, as well as one grandchild. And Jeff Strucker serves presently as the lead pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia. Jeff Strucker, it is awesome to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
And you have a grandchild. You look so young.
Well, I'm old enough to have a grandchild.
Yeah,
so.
I know. You and I, we look just alike,
yeah,
don't we?
That's
just
right.
Nice and young. Amen. Well, listen, Jeff, let me ask you a question. What's your grandchild's name?
Penelope.
Penelope.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Beautiful little girl, 6 months old.
I would love to see her one day. How wonderful. Well, what a great opportunity it is to interview you today. And Jeff, I want to ask you a lot of questions about leadership.
Sure.
Obviously, you have been all over and God has had you in all kinds of tracks. And what led you to your decision to enlist in the Army back in 1987 at 18 years of age?
Yeah, I didn't really have a lot of military in my family, so it was not a spur-of-the-moment decision, but I grew up in the Midwest. Our family didn't own a farm, and the little small farming community I come from, if you don't have a farm, there's not much of a future after high school. So it was kind of a senior year of high school thing when I started thinking about my future that I went to talk to an Army recruiter, and I was looking specifically for something that would challenge me. So I went into the recruiter's office and just asked, hey, what's the toughest job in the Army? Sign me up. How do I become an Army Ranger?
That's amazing. And so where did you begin your service?
The Army sent me straight to Fort Benning, Georgia. I did my first, I went through that basic training process, went to the Army's Airborne School, and then I was stationed there and spent 10 years consecutively in the Army's Ranger Regiment at Fort Benning.
What has been the leading element, the leading passion, the leading thrust of your life that really has launched you not only from a military career, but obviously operating in your faith,
yeah,
letting that faith be alive?
The answer to your question is I tried to weave two things together. I tried to demonstrate my faith to the folks that I serve with in the military, mm-hmm, and I tried to be a great warrior. And for some folks, there's a struggle personally or even theologically with the, mm-hmm, idea of being in the military and being a believer in Jesus. For me, that's never really been much of a challenge. So I just set out to prove soldiers that are Christians should have more strength, they should have more courage, they should have I like to refer to it as a well that's deeper to draw from than anybody else on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Well, talk to us about how the military prepared you for even walking with Christ Because in reality, it's a both and. Your faith equips you, but man, you know, the battles of life, especially the battles of the military, obviously, and the kind of matters that you've been involved in, would obviously have great application to your faith.
Yeah, God blessed me by giving me the privilege to work in two of the greatest organizations I'll ever experience in my lifetime. One serving the country and the other one serving Christ and now in the church. But as you just said, my faith really was the foundation for the way that I approached the military. I like to put it this way. My faith changed the way that I fought. It influenced the way that I fought. But the Army also helped me become a leader. The Army is inundated. I mean, the Army is a leader. The military in general is a leadership institution and preparing everybody at every level for the next level of leadership. So the Army gave me a great advantage by just inculcating leadership in me from the earliest days. And my faith influenced the kind of soldier that I was in the Army. So those two things kind of worked together for me.
That's amazing. Well, let me ask you, Jeff, in relationship to that, what are those greatest lessons that you learned about leadership from your time in the Army?
The truth is, every leader will get to the limits of their own personal abilities. And one of the things that I try to share with people is when you reach the end of yourself, that's actually not a bad thing. That's kind of a good thing where you know the limits of your, the limitations that you have. Because that's where Christ and the Holy Spirit can step in and really start to meet needs that you can't physically or even emotionally meet, and the military will bring a person often to their ultimate needs, you know, to the limits of themselves. So,
well, you talk about the soul of a warrior. What does that mean?
I refer to it as when a guy or a gal goes off to combat, what they experience on a battlefield, it's physical. They're going to have the physical exhaustion and the exhilaration of war. There's, of course, an emotional event to it, and your heart is tied up in what's happening around you. But what is rarely talked about, even in some academic circles, is there's also something that happens deep at the soul level in and around you. It's never an easy thing, nor should it be taken lightly, the taking of another life. When the military uses lethal force, it's what it's called in the military, when you take another human being's life, that should weigh in on your soul. And I believe that when you have a foundation in Jesus Christ, that should influence the decisions that a warrior is going to make in combat. So the soul of a warrior is what's happening in your soul that's influencing the decisions that you make during the middle of a battle, but also how what happens in the battle will influence you. It can put some scars on the soul that are going to stick around for the rest of your life.
Can I go back to that battle?
Sure.
I'd like for you to talk about that battle at Mogadishu that has become so well known because of Black Hawk Down and all of your involvement with that and your leadership in it. And I would just like for you to talk to our listeners today, and for those that have never heard the story, which probably many haven't, I want you to tell that story. Sure. For those who maybe have, refresh their minds. Yeah.
This is where the soul of the warrior became very clear to me. When I was a squad leader, as you described it, a 24-year-old squad leader in the Army and sent over to Somalia as part of Task Force Ranger, my mission was to be the first Humvee, to drive all of those Humvees through the city streets on all of the missions that we did in Somalia. But that big battle, Black Hawk Down, it's our seventh operation. We're being pretty successful in Mogadishu, but it's taken a lot longer than we expected it to take. And we still haven't got some of the key leaders that we were trying to capture and to take out of the country of Somalia. So we got a tip on October 3rd, 1993, that two of the really high-ranking leaders are meeting in the middle of the afternoon in the same building at the same time. But special operations soldiers, like Rangers, typically don't do operations in the afternoon. We tend to do it at night with night vision goggles. And because the pressure was so high and because this was one of those very rare opportunities, we launched a mission to go get these guys. Helicopters flew in and they started to assault the target building, and I led a long column of Humvees through the city streets. Immediately there was a wounded Ranger by the name of Todd Blackburn, and I was tasked to take Blackburn, drive him back to the base as soon as I got to the target that day, drop him off, get him medical attention, then come back to the rest of the battle. on my way back to drive Blackburn back to the base, I went through this intense enemy gunfire. Frankly, none of us should have survived just making it back to the base. Our vehicles were shot to pieces. One of the guys that was on my Humvee was shot and killed instantly. His name is Dominic Pilla. And when we made it back to the base, the whole scene was just chaos back there. Soon as I got back to the base, helicopters had started getting shot down, and I got notified by my commander that we don't have anybody else who can go out to rescue some of the guys at the downed helicopters. So my commander asked me and my men to get back on the Humvees that we just got off of and drive out to get to Mike Durant's crashed helicopter. On the way out to that helicopter, I got in this intense enemy gunfire. We got shot to pieces, and ultimately I spent all night long driving people in and out of the city streets until 9 o'clock the next morning when we could load everybody up on our vehicles and try to get all of them out of the city streets. The vehicles were shot to pieces so bad that, as the movie Black Hawk Down shows, some of our guys had to literally run out on foot because there was just no vehicles left, no room on the vehicles to get them out of there. I frankly wouldn't have had the courage to go back into the city streets the second time. I went out there the first time because it was my job. The second time that I was asked and the third time asked to go back out in those city streets, I was certain this was a suicide mission. And what gave me the courage to drive back out there again and again is knowing where I'm going to spend eternity. Okay, I realize I'm getting sent out to my death, but because of what Jesus has done for me, he has settled for me what happens after death. So I could drive through the city streets with no fear, because my eternity had been secured for me by the blood of Jesus on the cross a long time ago.
That is so powerful. Thanks for your courageous faith, your willingness to put yourself under the fire.
Yeah.
The possibility of death, not only that second and third time, but even the first time. You know, what are some of the greatest challenges you see in the military today for men and women serving our nation?
What the country asks of our military right now is pretty extraordinary, and it's going to take extraordinary men and women to be able to accomplish it. If you think about it, we have an all-volunteer force, meaning nobody's been drafted, and we're fighting now the longest war by a landslide in American history, and it's pretty amazing that we haven't had to force men into the military to go fight this war. But they're not just fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan. Some of them are being asked to fight in the Philippines. Some of them are in Africa. There are folks that are fighting all over the world right now in Syria and in other places. And frankly, this war against terrorism, it's spreading all over the globe. And what we're asking of the U.S. military is almost unprecedented. But the problem is that the military gets people from the nation as a whole. So if America stops raising sons and daughters that are extraordinary, we will stop having a military that can meet the extraordinary demands. And our military deserves the highest praise. But one of my concerns for the future of our country is, will this next generation of Americans stand up and continue to do what the generations in the past have done? And our founding fathers said this very clearly. We are one generation away from extinction. If a generation of America refuses to stand up and do what it takes to secure our freedom, we stop being a free country during that generation.
So let's say that a man or woman, young man or woman, are listening to the podcast today and they've considered the military. Why should they do it?
Well, first of all, don't get into this thing lightly. Secondly, if you love your country, somebody's going to have to fight. And some will have to die for it. This is what Thomas Jefferson said. The tree of liberty must be sprinkled with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It's a hard life in the military. It's hard for military families. I can't even speak enough about what a military family sacrifices just for that warrior that goes overseas. It's a really, really hard life. But the truth is, if they don't serve, if they don't do it, we stop being a free country today. Everybody's future is at stake, not just a soldier or a sailor, airman, and marine. It's every American's future that's at stake.
And so what would you tell that mom or dad that says goodbye to that son or daughter to go serve in our country?
I have had mothers beg me to beg their children not to serve in the military. And I said, you're talking to the wrong person. Because if I can, I'll convince them to do it. And the mothers have basically said, I just don't want my son to die. And I have said, I don't want my son to die either. But if somebody's going to have to die for the future of our country, I'm proud to say that I raised a patriot. And I hope a parent who has a child that's considering serving the military today, knowing that they may go to war, I hope that parent would understand, now you have a, I like to refer to it as stock in the future of America.
And as you look at what's going on in the country today, former military man, put your life under major fire. And you turn the television on or you read the news accounts in the media, NFL players and other athletes across the country kneeling when the national anthem is played, rather than standing to their feet and putting their hand over their heart. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Ronnie. I'm frustrated and disappointed by it. Because America has its problems, and anybody who stands up and says we're a perfect country is crazy. Right. We are not a perfect country, mm-hmm. But I've looked all over the world. Nobody's got it as good as we've got it. No other country out there is doing better than we are, or at least trying to do better by her citizens than America mm-hmm. is. But I will also say I am a patriot through and through. I've tried to let everyone who knows me know I love my country and would gladly give my life if that's what it takes for my country. But I also am a believer in our rights. And I believe in the right to free speech. So as much as it really wounds me to watch people disgracing the national anthem, right. I believe we live in a country that allows people the opportunity to do that. So now I think instead of speaking to NFL players, I'd like to speak to NFL fans. If you're as disappointed about people that are kneeling and disgracing the national anthem that I am, just stop watching the game. Mm-hmm. And when enough people stop watching the game and stop going to the game, the NFL itself and the players that are getting paychecks from the league will decide, you know what? I guess our right to kneel at the anthem is not as important as the paycheck that comes along with playing the game of football. So,
Well, you know, I really hope that our country can work through this.
Yeah.
And obviously, we need a touch of God.
Yeah.
And here you are, you're a pastor of a local church, have an incredible military history in your life personally. What do you see in America today?
I see concern for our future, but I have great hope for the cause of Christ in our country. We are, as a country, trying to advance the gospel, not just at home, but around the world. And I'm thrilled to see what America is trying to do, but I have great concern for the morality of our country and the Supreme Court and even some government leaders. It seems like morality to them is a toy that's just being used to further a political career. So I long for the days that good patriot Americans who love Jesus will stand up and to say, hey, look, what's happening in my country is disgraceful and it's time for us to act right and to start to be the moral nation that we're supposed to be. I'm a big fan of Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan often used to say, America is a great nation because she's a good nation. And if she ever stops being a good nation, meaning morally good, she will also cease to be a great nation. And I think that's very true of where we are right now. It's dangerous where we are right now as a country.
Yeah, his words were profound and timeless and true for every generation, but especially our generation today. Well, tell us about your greatest challenges that you've faced in your life.
I went through some tough physical challenges in the military. I've gone through some academic challenges in the classroom. But probably my greatest challenges in life have always been relationship challenges. Mm-hmm. And I don't think those ever get easier. In fact, as my influence grows, the relationship challenges just seem to get harder and harder. And maybe God prepares me at a small level to be able to handle the relationship problems that'll happen at the next level. So if you're out there listening to this podcast and you're struggling with things at home or at the office and just relationships between people, I would say to you, join the club. I've got those problems too. And everybody that I know who's trying to lead and trying to honor Jesus has those same kind of struggles.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jeff, in a moment, I want you to pray for our country.
Sure.
And just for a few moments and utter a prayer for our nation, for our military today. And I just want to say to all of our listeners today, what an incredible privilege to be able to hear the story and to meet the man named Jeff Strucker. Military hero, a man who loves his country still today, who's willing to give his life, but he's also willing to give his life for Christ. And that's who his first Lord is. Mm-hmm. And today, wherever you are in your life, I hope that while you might love our country, that you might love God mm-hmm. more than you love our country. And when you love the Lord and you love our country, God can put a combination in your heart that can really make a difference in our country. So I hope that God will raise you up, whether you're in business or ministry, whether you're in politics or education, whatever you do in your life, I hope that God will raise you up to help us pray for the next great awakening and the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Whatever you're doing now, wherever you are, why don't you consider joining Jeff in this one-minute prayer for America.
Thank you, Pastor Ronnie. Let me pray for us right now. God, thank you for the privilege of being a citizen of this great nation. Perhaps the greatest freedom any human being has ever experienced in human history is the freedom we have as Americans. Mm-hmm. But God, that freedom is delicate, and we could lose it in a moment if you don't raise up another generation who's willing to fight mm-hmm. and some who would be willing to die That's to right. keep us free. Mm-hmm. But God, you've heard today the challenge of, would you raise up not only just patriots and warriors, mm-hmm. would you raise up families that are willing to make some sacrifices for those warriors who would leave mm-hmm. sons or lose daughters who go off to fight our country? Mm-hmm. God, would you raise up a generation of pastors and missionaries who will take the great news of your son Jesus to the mm-hmm. ends of the earth? I pray that you'll raise up some of the listeners of this podcast to be leaders in business and maybe yes. raise them up to be leaders in politics and leaders of our country mm-hmm. because they both love Jesus and love our country and want to do right. God, would you continue to give us great men and women, and would you bless this country and use this country as a city on a hill and a shining light to the nations? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff Strucker. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being upon our country. And thank you today for listening to Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.